Welcome to the Kingsley Grant Show, the podcast dedicated to helping you become the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. Kingsley believes his leadership paradigm, emotelligence, the art of succeeding where others failed, is the key to achieving this status. On this show, Kingsley guides you through the uncharted waters of emotional intelligence and leadership essentials, with the guarantee that upon exit, you will become more skilled in relationship management, decision-making, and job performance. Now here's your host, your coach, and your Sherpa, Kingsley Grant.
Here we go. This is your boy, Kingsley Grant, behind the Jamaican microphone, bringing you yet another show. Today, I am coming to you from the Command Center of the Emotelligent Leadership Institute, where I am in an undisclosed location because I'm written into the vault of where I have stacks and stacks of the resources that I have, especially for you. They are selected. So today, I'm going to reach as right now into the vault. Okay, I've got it. Let me put that down here. All right, we've got it. And as you can imagine how weighty this is because of two main things. Number one, it is our 100th episode of the Kingsley Grant Show. And you have made it possible. Congratulations. Thank you so very much. We celebrate together. I am so ecstatic because when we first started this journey, who would have thought? And here we are. And the second thing why this is going to be, it's a heavy one, because I'm going to share with you in this 100th episode, after listening, if you have listened and followed me from the very beginning, you have heard a few things about me. But I tell you that there are some things I would believe that majority of what I will share with you today in the 13 things you may not know about me, I would say 80 and possibly 85% of what I would share, I have not mentioned in any of the previous episodes on this show. Imagine doing four or five interviews. So in this 100th episode, I've done over 90 episodes solo where I've shared with you on leadership, I've shared with you on emotional intelligence, I've shared with you about my book, The Emotelligent Leader, I've shared with you and my journey, basically. And here we are. And so I thought about how can I celebrate this 100th episode? And I didn't really know what to do. I kind of brainstormed and thought about it. And at one point I said, maybe go back, and which would be a very huge undertaking. But I said, maybe I could go back and take parts of each episode, the 99 episodes, just maybe a one-liner or here or there, and piece all that together. But can you imagine what that would have been like, the undertaking? That would probably have taken me a week or more, obviously more than a week, just to compile all that information and then to edit all that, because I edit my own show. And right now I'm doing that. And so it would have been really, man, a brutal thing. I don't know if I could have done that. But anyway, that was one thought. Another thought was to have someone interview me of what it is like to have done all these episodes and about research, how do I put my shows together, all of that. And that was an idea. And maybe if you are interested in knowing that, I probably can do that for another significant marker in this show, or just do it as an episode just to give you an inside, a behind the scene look at what happened in my podcast journey. So that is one thought I had. But then I listened, and I must, you know, be in full transparency here. I was listening to a show by Mike Kim, and Mike Kim's show is a brand new podcast. And Mike Kim is a great guy, very, very solid, give great information about marketing and copywriting. And really, he's a well sought after speaker and copywriter and marketer. So he's had really great success in that area. He also had a podcast, And I was listening to his podcast, and he talked about seven things that you may not know about him. And he encouraged and suggested that, you know, sometimes people, we take it for granted that people know these things and may not, and or nobody will be interested. Who wants to, who cares, right? People are more, are so busy in their own lives. But when I listened to that podcast, I'm thinking, well, if I wanted to listen and hear that story, those stories are the seven things about him that I may not know, well, I'm sure other people also wanted to know. And if I was curious enough to do that, then why wouldn't I feel that somebody, maybe one or two persons, may be interested in knowing if I put together a list? So I started out to do seven things. And as I began to write and I'm thinking, oh man, I know that you might not know this and you would like to know. And I, you know, I could do this and maybe a follow up to this, and probably, because I can't cover everything in this one episode, obviously. And I'm thinking, well, seven things is not enough. So Mike, as you suggested, was, he said, you know, you don't have to do seven things. You could do 47 things if you wanted to, but that's a bit too much. So I thought about, okay, I wanted it to be an odd number. And so, you know, we in the Caribbean, I'm not sure if that's true in where you are, but I don't hear much about it anymore. But there was something called the Baker's Dozen. And have you ever heard that? Do you know what that means? Well, what happened is that, you know, I don't mean it in a way that, you know, come on, you should know this, right? But what happened in the Caribbean, and I'm from Jamaica, which you know that by now. But I remember hearing about the Baker's Dozen. And so what happened is that when you buy a dozen of anything, for example, you know, a dozen, whatever, you would get an extra one. So you would get 13. And in essence, what they're saying, because you bought 12, we're going to give you an extra one, and it's now called the Baker's Dozen, right? So I thought about, well, I'm going to give you a Baker's Dozen list here. And so a Baker's Dozen is 13, and that might be a great number to settle on for my 100th episode. So I just wanted to share that with you and then get into these seven things. I'm sorry, here we go, seven. These 13 things you may not know about me in our 100th episode. And let me quickly say that I also will not be doing the Did You Know segment in this show, because I wanted to make sure that this is really not too long, but also a very targeted, very, you know, laser-like focused on the show. So here we go. Now, this is the order I put them in, and I kind of reordered. I said, which one should I go first with? What might be the most interesting thing that you might want to hear about me? And I thought about it this way. So the first thing I mentioned is this: a scary moment in my life. A scary moment in my life. And as I go through this, I would like for you to probably think about, if I was interviewing you and asking you these questions, what would you say? What would you say to this answer, these questions? And so the question might be, what is one scary moment that you can describe or talk about or share about in your life? And so mine is an open heart surgery. Yes, open heart surgery. Wow, Kingsley, wait a minute. I didn't know that. You had what? An open heart surgery? Come on. Nah, can't be. Well, yes. I mean, if you know me and see me, you would not even know that. Just, you know, I had my shirt. I had getting dressed to go someplace. And my wife, she said to me, I was doing a FaceTime with her. She was at another location. And she said, "Oh, you're showing your chest, huh?" And she's just laughing. I say, yeah, I'm sure I'm showing my scar because I have a scar in my chest. That is my reminder of what happened. In 2012, I underwent a major open heart surgery. It's a quadruple bypass surgery. And that came about because I've had about 13 years prior, I had a mild heart attack. It wasn't nothing too serious. Well, you know, of course, when your heart, everything is considered serious, but I did not have a surgery. They put me on medication and there was nothing serious as far as blockages are concerned. But fast forward 13 years later, I had an issue and I won't go into all the details because I could spend a whole podcast talking about how I ended up this way. But stressful moment, stressful time in my life, and I actually had some, you know, breathing issues where I was at the gym, felt my breathing was kind of, you know, laboring, and, you know, that started on Monday. It went through Tuesday, and then Wednesday, I finally decided to go to the hospital, drove myself there just to check to see what's going on. Long story short, they told me that, you know, we have to keep you because you're having some, we have to check your heart, and we can't let you go back home. And I was in the hospital for 6 days. Yeah, 6 days. And then, you know, after they ran all the tests and everything they did, finally, what they did was a catheter they ran, and they found that I had a huge blockage, actually four blockages. One was really, really like 95% of my main artery. It was 95% blocked. And that's why they would not let me go home because I could die. Who knows, right? So thank God for that, it was discovered, and I had a quadruple bypass surgery, and I'm doing well. I mean, I have, you know, just before I am recording this episode, I went for a 3 mile run / walk, and the day before yesterday actually, I went to the gym. I did some weightlifting, and by the way, I am now able to lift. Let me see, it's 45, it's 180, and I'm doing a 225. Deadlift. So, you know, I mean, not, you know, bench press. So I'm not doing too bad, right, for an older guy. And so that was my scariest moment in my life because I could have died. And I never forget the night before my surgery, my family, my wife and my son, my daughter came to the hospital to talk to me and pray with me and just, you know that I was going under the next morning very early and none of them would be there. And so I really, you know, we had a time to talk, and I thought about maybe, you know, who knows, this might be my last time seeing them because I could die on the table. How many people have died right in surgery? Thank God that never happened. God was very gracious, very, very kind, very merciful to us, and I survived. I went through that, and today here I am. I do my checkup every year to make sure everything's okay, stress tests and all the different tests that they put me through. And everything is looking good. Just had one done this year. And my cardiologist said, man, you're doing okay. You're doing great. Keep on doing what you're doing. So that's a scary moment in my life. Number two, a close death experience. A close death experience. Well, you would say, Kingsley, that would be a close death experience, wouldn't that? Not really. Because, it could go either way. But actually, a close death experience I had was when I was a child. I think maybe 10 years old, thereabouts. I can't remember what age I was. All I knew was in Jamaica, I was in the capital city of Jamaica, in Kingston, spending a few days with my aunt who lived there. My dad, we lived in the country, and it was an excitement to go and live in, and spend some time in the city. And I'll never forget that my dad was coming to, had come to pick me up, and I remember that I was excited about seeing my dad and, you know, of course, and all the different things. Long story short, I ran across the street to run to my dad. And as I ran across the street, a car came around the corner very fast. I mean, never even saw it come in because if that was the case, people would say, stop, you know, but nobody said anything. We never saw it. The next thing I knew was this car hit me smack in the front with the car and threw me in the air. And I was told this, obviously, because I was out. Threw me in the air, and I landed over close to where my dad was. Can you imagine? Can you imagine everything stopped for my dad, because now the only thing was, am I okay? Did I, you know, did I survive the hit? What I found out was they rushed me in a car to the main hospital. And it so happened that the major hospital, the biggest one, is in Kingston. And they rushed me there in the car. And I think on the way to the hospital, I remembered kind of coming to my senses, so to speak, and a little regain some consciousness. But I wasn't sure what happened. I ended up in the hospital, in the children's hospital. Thank God there was no broken bones, but they were checking for internal injuries. Checked me, and then obviously it released me days later. And thank God that was a close death experience. I've had others, because I've had four other car incident where I rolled cars, you know, and me being the driver in three occasions, and then one occasion somebody else was driving and I rolled in, you know, went full roll down a precipice one time in a car. So I could talk about those, but I won't get into all of that right here. Number three, your nickname as a kid. Well, my nickname, I had several nicknames. Well, I was a soccer player, and I was a pretty good soccer player. And I remember playing for my high school, and I played on the team that we went national. So I played as a national soccer player. And in Jamaica, we call it football. So as a football player, and for those who are in the United States, and it's becoming more soccer because that's what we hear more often now. And so they called me Bullet. So I was called Bullet because of my speed and, you know, that's how fast I would run and how fast I could get to a player and actually, you know, tackle and win the tackle. So they called me Bullet. And that stuck with me. Most of my friends who were soccer players and in the neighborhood and at school would call me Bullet. There was another name that I really kind of, I would laugh, but it deep within me, it bothered me. Actually, it kind of, you know, grinded at me, so to speak, but I did not let anybody know it. I would not want to show that, because when you show it, the more they'll keep on doing it. But it didn't stop them anyway, even though I did not show it. But they called me Diddy Duck. And it was that way, and mainly by a few of my teachers, mainly. I remember one of my teacher, she a very good friend of our family, and she would call me Diddy Duck. And so the reason why they called me that, because I walked with my feet was turned in. So you can imagine, you know, it's hip. I see especially young men today with their pants hanging down, sagging, and they have to walk with their feet wide and turn their feet in to keep their pants up, which is silly. They have a belt. Why not use a belt? But that's another story for another day. And so I walked, my feet were kind of turning like a duck. And so that would call me Diddy Duck. And guess what I did? I actually taught myself how to walk, and I would intentionally and consciously walk with my feet constantly out, and just turn my feet out. And I got over it. That went, and I'm thinking, man, Kingsley, why did you get over it? It's hip now. You should have kept it. You would have been one of the cool guys, the cool older guy, right? And so they call me Diddy Duck. But the name that stuck with me, because my dad gave it to me, was the nickname JC, right? JC. And for short, they call me Jay. And my family members, all of them, and real close friends will call me Jay or JC. So people today, I mean, a lot of my friends, you ask them, what's my name? They'll say JC. They, you know, Kingsley is like, Kingsley? Well, who's that? But my dad wanted me to go to this college called Jamaica College. And it was one of the main college in Jamaica. And he began to, I guess, was one of those put that out in the universe thing. Even though that my dad didn't think about those things, he was a Christian. But he wanted me to go to Jamaica College. And so he began to call me JC, 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 JC. And that's what he was singing that song. Long story short, I never ended up going there, because that was one of the high schools of choice. I went to what I thought the better school, Monroe College High School, where all boys school. That's where I played soccer, and I flourished there as well. So that was the name. And so today, my family members, my siblings, all of them call me Jay or JC. None of them call me Kingsley. They call me Kingsley, you know, something is up. They're really, it's like, okay, what did I do now? You know, that kind of stuff. Number four, what you wanted to be as a kid when I grew up. You know, that's when I did that question, I'm thinking, what was it I really wanted to do? And the only thing that came to my mind, I remember I was about 12 years old, and my mom, before she died, reminded me of this, because there was a guy who would come on the radio. Now, I'm from a Christian background, and we would listen to him preach. And this guy, man, he really knew how to preach. Very articulate. He could really move an audience. And I'm listening to it on the radio. So my imagination to hear how he moved, how he spoke, you know, how he used his voice, and he used his voice well. He got loud. He got soft. He paused. All the different speaking skills you can think about. He really demonstrated that. I'm thinking, I want to be a preacher. I want to be a preacher. So I wrote a letter. I remember writing a letter, and my mom, before she died, and I wish I had asked her for it, because she said she thinks she had that letter still. She kept it. Because I wrote a letter to this guy. I didn't know his address. I didn't know how to get it to him, but I wrote it anyway. And because I said, I want to be like you, da-da-da-da, and so on. I want to be a preacher. But what I realized that there's a number of things in that one thing. It's speaking, his speaking ability. And I wanted to be a person that was a person of influence, one to many, using the platform to persuade and influence and help people become better in life. And so that's what I wanted to be when I was much younger. Strongest skills, my strongest skills. What are my strongest skills? Well, one of those, as you hear, I'm doing it through my podcast. My strongest skill, I believe, is as a speaker. I am a speaker and a speaker who writes. So I am a professional speaker, meaning that I do trainings, I do keynote speeches, I speak on leadership and emotional intelligence. I've done training throughout the years for parenting training. I've done teenagers, spoken to people who are upcoming leaders who want to know how best to work with people, especially teenagers. I've trained them. So I've really, that's my power, my skill, you know, my superpower, basically. And I also, from that, because I am a strong speaker, I think so, and others have told me that way, that have inspired many, and that's why I've come up with the hashtag Kingspire, because that's what people will say, hey, you inspire me, man, you've been so inspiring and so helpful. So I just say, hey, okay, I'm Kingspire. So the thing is that I also am a published author. So I'm a speaker, and the topics I speak about, I write about as well. So I'm a published author. My most recent book is The Emotelligent Leader, Succeed Where Others Failed, and Become the Leader Everyone Loves and Wants to Follow. My book prior to that was about the midlife launch, Successfully Pursue Your Dream Without Giving Up the Most Important Thing to You. And so that was my last book before this one was a bestseller book, was a number one bestseller book in Amazon. And I'm very proud of that. So that's where are my strongest skills. And I could list other skills as well, because soccer, I was a very good soccer player, but I don't play that much. I don't play that today, but I still speak. Number six, something traumatic that I've experienced. Now, this is not a very, you know, this is the dark one, and I kind of put this in the middle. I at first wanted to begin with this one, but I said, no, why start with a downer like that? But the trauma is where I, as a teenager, I experienced teenage molestation by somebody who was supposed to be a mentor, an older person, a friend, and so-called, right, all those things. And long story short, but I won't go into that now, but I experienced that as a teenager. And I really, in Jamaica, it was. And of course, I did not tell anybody, I did not share with anyone about that. For over 20 years, I kept that to myself, because it's something that you never want to talk about. Well, actually, I never did, because I grew up in a country that was very, I would say, homophobic in its cultural makeup. And there's still parts of that in the country still. And can you imagine that, right? Very conservative. And the nation was pretty much known as a Christian nation. That's what they would say. Well, you know, everybody's a Christian nation, but you actually ask a question, how Christian are you? But long story short, I mean, I won't get into that. But anyway, I experienced that as a teenager, and that was something traumatic. And when I started speaking about that 20 years later, is actually when I started to work with teenagers, which I'll share in a few moments. And that was where I began to become vulnerable and share with them stories that what I want them to avoid and how they could avoid certain things. And I've spoken about the issue and what that was like, but then how that was something used, and I've used that to my advantage, let it work for me to help other people. So, you know, I turned something dark into something bright, turned something that was really evil and use it for good, kind of not waste. You know, I don't want to go into this, but I figure since it happened and I can't do anything about that or change that, how could I use it for the good? And, you know, being a Christian that I am, and I remember one of the things that I hear God say many times through the Bible, that he causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purposes. And I figure, well, okay, God knew about this. He saw this. He could have rescued me. And I won't get into like, you know, oh, if God is so good, and why didn't he stop it? And God is, please, you know, I won't get into that because we can spend a whole day going back and forth on this. But, you know, going back to my heart condition, I mean, God's goodness is what saw me through. You know, the car hit me and I could have almost died. It's God's goodness. So, you know, I say to people who bring that to my attention, please, let's not even start with that, because I can show you how God has been good in so many areas in my life. And I don't mean to preach. I don't want to get off into that, but I wanted to really highlight that just in case somebody think about that. So I figure God causes all things to work together for good. So even this, he's used it and I've seen it, and it's worked together for good for so many people. Number seven, your first job. My first job, I mean, you would be surprised. My first job was actually as when I left high school in Jamaica. We had this thing where the government at the time was moving into socialism, with a very socialistic mindset prime minister, and he wanted to move our country into a model like Cuba. And he was very, very socialistic in his mindset, and he's pushing for that. And one of the things he came up with was, every young person that graduated high school, no matter how old you are, and I graduated younger than most people, that you have to give 2 years of service back to the country. And they give you a, well, you know, that's very small, like, you know, just a stipend. And it's not a job to get paid, a stipend just for you to take care of whatever, the basic necessities. You could not pay any rent. You had to stay home because it was not enough money. And I remember that what I did, I was a teacher. I taught mathematics and I was a PE teacher at a school that some of the students were older than me. Imagine that. But I taught math and I also was a PE teacher at this school. Obviously, the PE was mainly soccer. And of course, you know, other track and field events. And of course, I had somebody else who was alongside. So I was an assistant, so to speak, because I was so young, still a teenager. And of course, I could not be the person in charge, but I was an assistant and I was able to teach in those areas. That's my giving back. It was my first job. And I call it a job because I was getting a stipend. And then, of course, my major job from that was to work at the bank. And of course, that's when I actually started to get a paycheck. That was my first real, real job, really, if you want to call it that. Major achievement. Now, this is my major achievement, is that I've been married for 34 years as of this recording. And this is 2019. And so it's 34 years to the same person. And I have two wonderful children. Now, they're young adults. And so this is a major milestone for me. And I really celebrate that. And I don't take it lightly. I thank God, because people ask me, how have you done 34 years, Kingsley? And I said, it's God. It's just God's grace and God's mercy. I cannot tell you. I'm not being perfect. And my wife have not been perfect. We've had our issues. but God has seen us through and still continue to see us through. But 34 years of marriage and two wonderful kids as a product of our marriage. My longest employment was at a church. Actually, here is where the whole idea of being a preacher, because I actually became a youth director at a church, and I served there for almost like 20, actually a little bit over 21 years. I served in that one place. And I took on different roles, obviously. I was very involved in the community. I was taught parenting class. I taught conflict resolution. I taught communication. I taught relationship building. I taught marriage. You know, you name it. I just began, it's all around relationships. And I found that my strong suit was helping people navigate relationships better, whether it's parent to teen, parent, you know, husband to wife, leaders to community, leaders to their own people. And so I taught leadership classes. I did retreats for leaders. Just you name it. So I had that leadership thing in me for all these years. And so I was a leader for this many years. And so that was my longest employment. And then in 2008 was when I resigned from my position there. Number 10, something scary that I've done. Now, this is one of those really, for some people, it might be scary. And yes, let me just admit, it has some scary part to that. And that is skydiving. Yes, you heard me. I jumped out of a plane. It was one of my bucket list wish and one of my major birthdays. I think it was my 50th. I think I cannot remember. My kids and my wife got me as a birthday gift to celebrate a major milestone in my life. It was a birthday gift. And I think it was 2000. Just because of time, I don't want to go look it up. But I remember that I decided to jump out of a plane, and they wanted me to jump out of a plane. And I'm thinking, okay, let me now look and see who wants my insurance. No, I'm just kidding. And so what happened really is that I jumped out of a plane in Miami after three tries. The first two was hurricane came, and so they had to postpone that. And the other one was the weather condition was not great. And then finally, the third one was, you know, they said three tries, right? Whatever. How does that go? You know, something about a charm, however, whatever. But the point is that I jumped out of a plane. What a thrill. What an experience. What a rush that was. And you might be thinking, rush? Are you kidding me? And guess what? I had my eyes open. I wanted to see everything. I've heard people who have jumped out of planes and kept their eyes closed. I'm thinking, why would you ever want to do that? That's a waste of money and your time. The whole point of doing that is to see what others will not see, because you are going to do something others will not do. So that was one of the scariest things that I've done. Number 11, one of my greatest accomplishments actually was to have, let me switch it around. My proudest moment was when I graduated with my master's degree at 49 years old. Yes, you heard me. I went back to school late because after I graduated my undergrad, I just really did not feel like, you know, I could afford to go back to school. I did all on my own. You know, I migrated from Jamaica to the United States, and I was really on my own basically all the way through. And I came here very, very, very young age. And, you know, I won't go into all of that. But my proudest moment, though, was when I walked across that stage with my degree, my diploma in hand as a master's degree candidate. And I really cherished that time because I thought I would never be able to do that because of my age and, you know, all the different things about going back to school, so old and all of that. But then from that, I wrote my book about the midlife launch and transition, and how many people in my research really began life after 50 years old and have done major accomplishments in their lives. So that book actually came out of that. One of my greatest accomplishments, as I started to say, that's number 12. One of my greatest accomplishments I believe is, I would say it's not, yeah, it's a graduation, but it's my book writing. I was able, you know, after, I never thought I would be a published author. I knew I could write some stories, but I didn't know I could write at this level. And so one of my greatest accomplishment is when I wrote my first book, which I don't talk much about because it's my worst, I think it's my worst book, meaning that a good story, but I don't know who I was writing to. But I kept on and I persevered and actually have written now 4 printed books, and I think it was, and all of them also have ebooks along with them. And I've written outside of that 3 other ebooks. So I really think that I take great pride and joy in that. And number 13, man, time is going by here. I could really talk all day, but obviously we want to now make this much, much longer. Number 13, the thing you may not know about me is my core values. My core values. So everything you hear, everything you see, how I write, how I talk, the things I say, the content of the things I produce, comes from my core values. And my core values are faith, family, and freedom. Faith, family, and freedom. Faith is very, very, very important to me. I'm a Christian, and I'm not just a Christian in word, but I'm a Christian indeed. I'm a Christ follower, and I truly admire him as my greatest hero leader. I learned so much from him, and of course, I have so far to go to ever, ever, ever get close, remotely close to the things he did as a leader. He's a leader of all leaders. So that's, my faith is important to me. I use my God-centeredness as far as how I make decisions, things I look at, things I talk about, things I engage in, that kind of stuff. Family is huge to me. My family, my wife, my children, my siblings, my in-laws. Family is important. I think that when I was in the hospital, what meant the most to me was my family when they came the night before my surgery. You know, when I actually was, you know, have gone through some very, very difficult things in my life, my family, my mom and dad, when they were alive, mainly my mom, because my dad was, he had died many, many years earlier. And my mom was like that person that you could go to and experience. So I learned family. Even though we're not as close as I wish we were as a family, we're kind of spread across and we don't get together that much. But my main immediate family, my wife and my children, are very, very important to me. And freedom. Oh, freedom. It's not just freedom in a country which I live in. Thank God for the United States of America. Thank God that we are a nation that gives people the right to say things that they want to say and do things. But what bothers me is when some people are taking that and want to take that away. But freedom is very important to me. And freedom has come because somebody had paid the price for it. And so I cherish that. I not only cherish the freedom of the country I live in and freedom of expression, I also experience the freedom of work. So what I like is to be able to work for myself. And that's why I've entered the entrepreneur world, because I want the freedom to do what I want to do, when I want to do it, how I want to do it. And it's not because I'm a rebellious person and that I can't follow, you know, directions. I have done that and still do. But it's like I enjoy the flexibility that comes with the freedom that I have. And I cherish that so much. So those things are my core values and they're important to me. And I do things keeping that in mind so it can keep me centered. So these are the 13 things you may not know about me, but now you know about those. And I wonder what yours would be. 7 things, 13 things, 47 things, you know, who knows? But I could mention a whole bunch of other things as well, but I wanted to take the time and just share this with you as we are in 100th episode of the podcast, The King's the Grand Show. And I hope this was helpful. I hope you get to know me a little bit more. And I really appreciate you taking the time to spend with me, to listen, and just to have me share with you a little bit more about myself. So as we move forward from here, you have an idea who it is you're talking you're listening to what my values are and some things that have happened in my life. My friend, thank you so very much for putting up with me and listening to this show, this episode. I'm very appreciative of that and all that you have made possible for us to get to this number. So thank you. With that said, my friend, let's now put this show, which is so special because it's 100th episode, we're going to find a special place in the vault to tuck this one away. Wouldn't you agree? I think so. So let's kind of find this place and put it away in the vault. Here we go. There you have it. Now, this is put away, and this is, we may retrieve it at some other time in the future, but now it's tucked away, and I can now exit the command center of the Immortelligent Leadership Institute. My friend, thank you so very much. With that said, remember, you're one skill away from being the leader everyone loves and wants to follow. With that said, my friend, peace out, God bless, and I'll see you on the flip side. Yeah.